This is episode 447, recorded April 14th, 2017. Packard pokes at Muhammad and the Pope walk into a bathroom. I want to thank Torva from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
Happy Astara.
There you go. It is that time of year again when the zombie Jesus rises from the grave.
And bunnies are mating like crazy. And baby chickens are... baby chickens are aborted, and then you dye their little bodies and find them in places.
I never thought about how it comes? I never understood why would you give an animal that hops eggs? Give me the eggs! And joining us from the far south of us is, or at least south of me anyway, is Tom, your friendly neighborhood atheist.
That's me. You got the spring chickens.
Uh-huh.
And the fucking rabbits.
I couldn't even want to imagine what a chicken and a rabbit looks like if you crossbred those two, or if you were able to.
A rabbit.
A platypus.
A rabbit.
A platypus is a duck and a rabbit. It'd be a platypus with a pointy beak.
How about a chicken with rabbit's feet? Or a rabbit with chicken's feet? That would be a hell of a mashup.
Lucky chicken.
You have your lucky rabbit, your rabbit's chicken rabbit foot today.
Actually, they have some chickens that look like they have rabbit feet. They got feathers on their feet, and they're all like fluffy.
Uh-huh. Oh, what's that kind called?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, because they're like a
show chicken.
It's a silky chicken, something.
Maybe that's what it's just called, a silky.
My show chickens come in batter and buckets. Yeah, buckets, and they've been extra crispy.
Love that chicken, that show chicken from Popeyes.
Yes, I love that Popeyes chicken. Not an endorsement. Not a paid endorsement anywhere.
Unless they want to pay us.
Yeah, unless they want to pay us. Popeyes, if you're out there, you want to pay us, let me know. I will promote your chicken day and night.
I'll do it for a coupon.
I've never eaten Popeye's chicken. I really hate fried chicken. So.
Oh, it's good. You've been hearing a lot of the news about Chechnya and how it's part of Russia out there, and they have a lot of problems going on out there. And now for another new problem going on out there. Is if you are a gay man and living in Chechnya, the leader out there, Ramzan. Oh, this guy's got a weird name, and he's the leader. Well, we got Trump. I'm not judging. Ramzan Kadyrov, whatever his name is. He's the provincial leader over in Chechnya, which is part of Russia there.
You know, when we get to these names, we really just need to have Siri say what they are.
Can we? Yes, I would say so.
I'm getting to the point where I just don't even care anymore because these names are just so bizarre.
I blame everything on Siri as it is, so that would just be, par for the course.
Yeah. Anyway, Mr. Karjov keeps ordering Chechnya and keeps Mr. Putin, Mr. Putin, you know.
Mr. Putin?
Mr. Putin. Putin. Putin.
That's what Trump calls him.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm thinking about Joker and Harley Quinn. Oh, my God. Hey, Putin. Hey, Putin.
Hey, Putin.
Vlad the Putin.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I wish the story was a little happier, unfortunately, but it's not.
Me too.
Because this guy, he's a monster. He's a monster. I hate to use argumentum ad Hitler, but he's working his way up there. He's really working his way up there because he's already taken and detained over 100 gay men, and several so far have at least been reported have been murdered by this fucker, because the fact is that they're just gay, and there's nothing wrong with being gay.
Here's the biggest thing I don't understand about. I mean, as a straight man, I would surround myself with gay men for two reasons. One, women love gay men, and mm-hmm. I'm the only one that women would be with because the other guys would have no interest. So dual purpose.
Yeah, well, there's always those women out there that say, I can change him. But.
Well, I'd say practice on me. I'll tell you if your methods will work.
Now, the thing is, though, here, the Crusading newspaper in
Novaya Gazeta.
Gazeta, thank you, Gazeta. Published an article starting back in April 1st, reported that Mr. Kozlov's armed thugs were detaining and executing gay men, with more than 100 men already seized. Three have known have already been pronounced dead, and possibly others have been murdered in extrajudicial honor killings. Now, I didn't realize this about Chechnya at the time, that it is basically a conservative Muslim society. I was unaware of this. I'm surprised that there's probably a lot of other people out there probably knew this. I was one of those people who did not, unfortunately.
Well, now, the U.S. Well, America is the center of the universe, right?
What? There's other universes out there?
No, I'm just saying. Oh, okay, I'm just saying that. Yeah, it's all of our news. All of our, we're so USA centric. It's it's disgusting, actually, and it, you know, we should change that ourselves. But yes.
Unfortunately, one of a reporter out there, she apparently had called him
coward, armed to the teeth, and surrounded by security guards. Anna Politkovskaya. This was in 2015. Oh, no, sorry. This was in 9 years earlier, which would have been 2006. She called guy a coward, armed to the teeth and surrounded by security guards, and 2 days later she was shot dead in the entrance to her Moscow apartment building.
Yeah, over there, it's they don't like you, if you say something wrong, fucking you're fucking dead. This is horrible. The fact is that they're rounding up people like this. Now, what they're doing this is they're going after closeted gay men that people are just they're like, they probably got families, you know, regular, they're married to somebody because they got to, you know, hide in the closet, as it were. So they're putting out stuff out on social media, say, hey, you want to hook up, you know, in weird places. And then as soon as they come out, they will attack them or kidnap them or whatever they are or wherever they're at. And Mr. Karjov's spokesman brushed off the report, saying that no one in the Republic is homosexual. Yeah, right. Sure. That's just like ISIS. They say there's no one gay here, and if they are, well, they're fucking dead.
Because their parents, because their family would turn them in.
Yeah, and he says that you cannot arrest or repress people who just don't exist in the Republic. Alvlai Karjov said to Interfax, if such people existed in Chechnya, law enforcement would not have to worry about them, since their own relatives would have sent them to where they could never return.
That's the ultimate don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, no shit.
And the other person that this is only one of two. Packard already mentioned a female reporter, but there was another person who was a leader, mm-hmm. who was targeted for, you know, and he was killed. He was killed in front of the Kremlin. Boris Nemtsov, having trouble pronouncing other languages.
Really, I didn't notice.
Blah, blah, blah. I apologize, everybody.
I thought it was just a lisp.
It's just a lisp.
Well, and what gets me is that Putin, you know, he's not doing diddly shit about this. And the speculation is he afraid of what this person will do, or does he not care? I would have to say I go with the latter, because Putin's already publicly stated that he thinks that gays are scum. You know, and those are my words. All right, so
yeah,
this is a concentration camp, but these are concentration camps for the gays. How is this happening?
Yeah, I have words for Razman Kazdov. You're a fucking coward that arms yourself around with security guards for no fucking reason, because you're a fucking coward. You fucking pile of shit. Come at me, bro. Come fucking at me.
Packard, it was nice knowing you.
You gotta fucking find me first.
The most frustrating thing, I think, is that this past week, Trump and Putin are no longer besties. It appears they gave away their little best friend, you know, split heart necklace, and now Trump is besties with China.
Yep.
And Trump's been dropping bombs all over Syria, which has Putin and Russia. This whole thing is such a clusterfuck of stupidity. But then the whole thing about these gays being rounded up in Chechnya, it's like it's disappearing off the radar.
I'm looking forward to, I think Trump is going to be the first president that is going to be, when you fire him?
Impeached.
Is going to be the first president impeached by his own party.
impeached as in actually ousted and not leaving on his own volition.
Yeah. Yes, by the other Republicans.
You know, there's this thing out in the universe that has been kind of theorized, and now it's getting a little bit more attention again. It's dark matter. And I'm not talking the TV show, which is a good sci-fi show if you get a chance to check it out. But there's this stuff that's out in the universe. It's a form of energy that's been theorized for some time now.
It makes up all the gravitational fields that we don't, you know, that we can't account for.
Right, exactly. It's kind of like binding glue in the universe, basically. Now, researchers of Waterloo have been able to capture the first composite images of a dark matter bridge that connects galaxies together. The scientists published their work in the paper Monthly Notices of the Royal Astronomical Society. Now, in the composite image, which combines a number of individual images, confirms predictions that galaxies across the universe are tied together through a cosmic web connected by dark matter that has until now remained completely unobservable, which is kind of cool. The fact is that they've been able to do this. Now, the reason why they're able to figure this out is because part of the research, Hudson and co-author Seth Epps, I'm not mispronouncing that last name, a master's student at the University of Waterloo at the time, used a technique called weak gravitational lensing, not to be confused with, you know, putting the lens on your eyeballs to, you know, peep at somebody else in their house, you know, not that kind of gravitational lensing.
Is that those 3D glasses that you get at the theater?
No, not those. Yeah, that's something else.
and that's Epps, by the way. Yes.
Epps. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the effect, an effect is which has caused the images of the distant galaxies to warp slightly under the influence of unseen masses, such as a planet, a black hole, or in this case, dark matter. The effect was measured in the images in a multi-year sky survey in the Canada-France-Hawaii telescope. That must be a really big telescope. It's in Hawaii, France, and Canada all at the same time. That's a big-ass telescope.
So you can ski in Canada and then climb the Eiffel Tower and then you know, go to a volcano in Hawaii all in the same day.
All in the same day. All in the same day.
Sorry.
And then look at dark matter.
And then look at dark matter all at the same time.
This is the highlight of anybody's.
Now, they combine the lensing images from more than 23,000 galaxy pairs located 4.5 billion light years away to create the composite images or map that shows the presence of dark matter between the two galaxies. Results showing the dark matter filament bridge is the strongest between systems less than 40 million light years apart. By using this technique, App says, we're not only able to see that these dark matter filaments in the universe exist, we're able to see that the extent to which these filaments connect galaxies together. Like I said, kind of at the top of the this part of the segment, glue. It's the glue that holds everything together. Connie, your thoughts?
I actually researched this in a very religious way, because I was like, okay, where is the Pat Robertson? And and maybe they're a little slow on the uptake, but I was curious how they were going to try and spin this story to make it that God is the dark matter that holds the universe together.
No, that'd be Brian Fisher. Brian Fucktard Fisher.
Okay, well, then to him too. I actually spent a good amount of time this afternoon.
Are you looking suggesting on... God is the Dark Lord?
Oh, kudos to you, Tom. Yeah.
Nicely done.
No, I was looking for it, and they're, like I said, they're slow on the uptake, but I'm curious to see how they're going to spin this.
Yeah,
that's gonna what I
10 years before they actually hear about it, because they're too busy putting down gays and propping up Trump and shit right now. So
the only thing I did do, and again, I don't know that you even posted this graphic, but I found a graphic which was explaining how they were sourcing the dark matter.
Yeah.
The weak, I'm sorry, what is it called again? The weak something is something?
Something dark side.
That's yeah. Okay. Something dark side. And it was really kind of cool, you know. And what gets me about this is that it's based upon what we already know and what we're projecting. And I'm kind of waiting for how this is going to change, because again, science informs itself upon what we know, you know. And well, so
science actually informs itself by what they can prove.
That's what I meant.
Don't know.
Yes.
I mean,
that's
what I love about science is right now, this is a hypothetical thing. This is
right. That's what I meant to say.
And they could be accused by just seeing what they want to see. They're like, oh, there, you just think it's there. So you're just imagining there. You took a picture and like, oh, you're saying it's there.
So, now, and that
other scientists will come and try to disprove it.
Right.
Right. Which is what they should do, because it's like, wait, this is how they refine it, and how. What Christians are going to do is going to say, oh, look, they don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And the unknown thing is God, blah, blah, blah. You know, we already knew that.
Smaller and smaller by the day.
Yes.
So that's all I want to say. But yeah, thank you, Tom. Go ahead and expound, because this is not my thing.
Well, I love science. You know, theory is one of the words that is aggravating, because people refuse to understand what scientific theory is. Theoretical is something different than theory. We use theory specifically to be a scientific theory. Mm-hmm. Theoretical is something closer to a hypothesis. It's something that they're thinking about, they think it's there, and they're trying to prove that it's there.
Right.
And the best way that they can prove something is there by trying to disprove that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how science works. It's not trying to prove something. It's trying to make sure that you can't disprove something.
Yeah.
Right. Or find the holes in what somebody's presenting. And
exactly.
It's very honest. It's extremely, it should be extremely thoughtful.
For everybody else, that's called being peer reviewed, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because what we do is we try to find, well, not us. I mean, we're just talkers out here. We're just the heads out here. We just kind of talk. But the scientists out there, what they do is they will look at this data and say, what's wrong with this data? Is there anything wrong with this data? They will double check everything that we think we know or what is presented, and then we will check it again and again and again and find out if this thing is correct or not.
There's a story I know, and I can't think of the details right now. It's a scientist who had theorized something, and he didn't believe it. It's like this, I can't, you know, all the math works out, but I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the math worked out, so he published it. And he ended up getting a Nobel Prize for it because it was everyone else, you know, once he published it, then everyone else checked him out and realized that he was correct. But, you know, scientists, everyone makes this thing like, oh, scientists, they're just doing it for the money. Like there's any money in a lot of
stuff. There's money in science? Wait a minute, I gotta go study.
Yeah, but what people don't understand is, you know, yes, you get your name published when you discover something new.
Mm-hmm.
But you can equally get your name published when you disprove something that's accepted. If somebody were to come along and disprove, you know, evolution as we understand it, he would be a superstar.
Yeah.
But nobody's doing it.
This whole story, kind of what we're talking about here, how we're disproving stuff here. This kind of reminds me, a couple of years back, they figured they were working with neutrinos, and somebody had recorded what they had thought that the neutrinos actually are faster than the speed of light. They thought they were moving faster than the speed of light.
They jumped.
Yeah, they jumped, or they were moving faster.
Right.
And it turns out that they did more tests and figured out, hey, there was something wrong with the equipment. There was actually a broken cable or something that was miscommunicating, and so mm-hmm. it was giving bad data. So they figured out that, yeah, what they thought was wrong. So they actually increased our knowledge by knowing to say, hey, neutrinos do not actually travel faster than light, because there was a calculation error and we just figured that out. So it's a matter of figuring out what's wrong with the science. If there is something wrong with it, then we correct it to get better science. The only thing that disproves science is just better science.
Exactly.
Yeah. When you panning for gold, mm-hmm. you're constantly sifting through the rubble and trying to find the pieces of gold. And in my very unscientific mind, that's what science is, though. It's saying, okay, you know, we have all these things that line up. Well, what fits the other categories, you know? And you're constantly refining it. And I think that's what's really awesome about science. I've come to appreciate it since I've become a skeptic, and I just love it. And so I'm curious how this is going to be further refined. It doesn't mean that these people are wrong. It just means that maybe they got it all right. But most likely there'll be other refinements to this study, and that's awesome, because the more we know, better to be proven wrong than forever be wrong.
Exactly.
Well, dark matter is one of these things that they originally saw of, like, in the 20s, you mm-hmm. know, that they theorized this. And they've been basically waiting for the technology to be developed that allows them to test for it.
Yeah. You know, That's like this last year, Einstein had theorized gravitational waves, and he was just proved right last year in 2016 when they finally were able to detect it.
So it's amazing that they can figure these things out. I mean, I look at the periodic table. I mean, mm-hmm. the original periodic table, I think, had like a dozen elements on it. And mm-hmm. the guy worked out the entire chart before we knew the majority of things there. I mean, he worked out spots for things that we would basically create. So it's just,
that's, you know,
science.
Crazy.
They're able to predict things. That's why science works, is you can predict things that basically come true. It's like predicting the future.
Yeah, and our periodic table has changed. It's actually grown like 5 or 10 elements. Maybe it could be more. I'm just going by bad memory on this point, but from when I was a kid to now, it's gone up by like 10 elements or more.
Yeah.
Talk about something we should be putting our emphasis on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's another thing about science that I love. If science really kind of rewards being wrong,
mm-hmm.
we punish people for being wrong all the time. Oh, you're wrong. Oh, you're stupid. You don't know anything. And being wrong is just a step towards being right. I mean, that we, you know, I guess the more scientifically literate people like to use Thomas Edison as an example, It's like, oh, you're so smart. You came up with a light bulb. And you're like, yeah, I only had to be wrong like 1,000 times before I figured it out.
Yep.
I mean, being wrong is the only way we can figure out how to be right.
Exactly. You learn more from your mistakes than you do your successes.
As an archer, I can tell you, yes, the only way you can know whether or not you're shooting true is by your misses.
Yeah.
And you adjust to the target, and you adjust your stance and everything else, all the other variables. You have to adjust them so that you can hit that target and hit it dead on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokeSet on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokeSet, or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokeSet. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. And join us for our secondary podcast, The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe. A new episode dropped yesterday afternoonish. My apologies. Got a little busy over this last week, so it dropped a little later. I apologize. But it's there. It's there. Oh, fuck, is it there? Holy shit, is it bizarre?
Bizarre or bizarre?
But it's bizarre. It's bizarre in the bazaar. So, yeah. Or Jailhouse Rock. It's a matter of perspective, I guess.
I'm just thinking about Disney's Aladdin in my head.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. It was just, the Bible is such a piece of bizarre work. It's so, the more we delve into this, the weirder it gets. I mean, I'm just waiting for the dragons to show up now. Yes, the Bible talks about dragons.
I want a magic carpet and a lamp and a genie. I bet this does not happen.
You ever realize if you ever had a party, the one person you'd really want to have at that party would be Jesus? I mean,
water and wine.
Turn water and wine, and he could replicate all the food.
There you go. Jesus, we're having lobster. Can you come over here? We need you again.
As long as there's fish falafels, right?
Yeah. Hey, Jesus, we need some more sushi rolls. Can you replicate some?
Oh,
first?
That'd be awesome. Oh yes.
Hey, we're on a pizza.
Instead of the fish and bread, do fish and rice.
Yeah.
Jesus is on the sushi bar. Awesome. I'm writing that down.
And tonight on the sushi bar, Jesus.
For everything I long to do, no matter when or where or who, has one thing in common too.
You ever get that feeling that if you do something wrong, there's just something, or the universe is against you or whatever? Some people call this karma. I don't believe in karma, but for good reasons. And if you want to know why, ask me in a message and I'll tell you why. But people over in Nigeria seem to think that because of reasons, for whatever reason, I can't get off the word reason, because reasons.
Well, insert sin.
Insert sin. Yeah.
People have been sinning. Repent. Yeah. And repent, and everything will be okay.
Yeah, just repent. It'll be okay. Which isn't a thing anyway. But because of sin, which could be anything from you slam the car door on your on mom's finger or to, oh my God,
ow.
I touched my pee-pee inappropriately for whatever reason, because, hey, that's a thing. And God goes down and looks around at you and says, hey, you're doing a thing I don't like, so I'm going to go bad shit to you, dude. This is over in Nigeria right now. They think that's what's going on. They think that God is punishing them for sins, because right now they have an outbreak of meningitis, which has claimed so far 450 lives in Nigeria's north, which may have exposed one of the reasons why the region of the country seems to have the grimiest statistics in almost every area.
I'm sorry, that's grimmest.
Grimmest.
I'm sorry,
is that grimmest?
Yeah, that's grimmest. Oh, grimmest. I'm sorry.
That's right. I'd rather be
grimy.
It's a great, it's a bad statistic.
I apologize.
No, that's fine. Hey, grimmest, grimiest, same thing, you know.
Now I'm thinking about McDonald's.
Yeah,
I'm
big purple
sorry.
Guy.
That's a big purple guy. Yeah, exactly. Hey, you got really bad. You got meningitis out there. You know, I wouldn't want that. You tell me I got meningitis.
Sorry. I'm laughing at this story. I'm sorry. Oh my God.
Now, the region is one of the few places in the world that has yet to be certified polio-free, the infectious disease that often cripples children. Now, I was looking this up because I sometimes get this wrong. There is two forms of meningitis. There's a bacterial meningitis and there's a virus meningitis. Virus meningitis is something that you can treat without being treated. It can kind of just go away. I mean, if you just like, it's like treating a cold. Bacterial meningitis is something that's a lot harder to deal with, and you have to have a lot of medications to take care of it. Otherwise, it can kill you. Connie, your thoughts?
So, is bacterial meningitis what we're dealing with here?
It doesn't. It just says meningitis. It doesn't say if it's because the thing is, the meningitis, as it is, according to
it's serious.
It's not just serious. It's something that's transmittable. It's actually something. It's like, you know how you go to the, you know, if you ever had kids or you're still in school or whatever, schools were a big bug factory because kids pick up their friends' colds and it just gets trampled around everywhere.
Well, actually, the meningitis I think is one of those things that
actually it's fungal meningitis.
Is it fungal meningitis?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm reading this right from the CDC. It says bacterial meningitis is very serious. It can be deadly. Death occurs as little as a few hours. Many people recover from meningitis. However, permanent disabilities such as brain damage, hearing loss, and learning disabilities can result from the infection. There are several types of bacteria that can cause meningitis. Leading causes in the United States called Streptococcus pneumoniae, Group B Streptococcus, Neisseria meningitis, Heplumpers, I'm not sure how you pronounce this word, Haemophilus influenza, Listeria monocytogenes.
Oh, okay. I've heard that word before.
Actually, it looks like the one that is in Nigeria right now is the meningococcal meningitis, the bacterial meningitis.
Yeah.
Well, again, this area has an extremely high infant and maternal mortality rate, poverty, child marriage, children out of school, and all of these things track. But what's really, I don't know, what's really awful is that the emir or the leader of this country is like saying, yeah, well, guess what? It's because you're sinning.
Yeah,
of course.
You know, it gets me, and this is a Muslim country, as the Muslim imam is like, no, that's not what's going on.
He said that instead of, while addressing the journalists, recently State Governor Abdul Dabi Yari, whatever his first name is, I can't pronounce it, absolved his administration of any responsibility for the disease's spread in his state.
Yes.
Instead, he said the problem was that the people have been sinning against God. This is an exact quote. He says, people have turned away from God. That is just the cause of the outbreak as far as I'm concerned.
As a government official is supposed to be taking care of my people, I'm taking care of my people by telling them to be good to God.
Yeah. He continues on saying, there is no way fornication will be so rampant and God will not send a disease that cannot be cured. Why? God's not going to send a disease that can't be cured. Have you heard of fucking AIDS, you stupid motherfucker? We don't have a cure for that shit yet. There are viruses out there we just do not have cures for. And I'm not saying that God has delivered any of these goddamn diseases. I'm just saying we have diseases out there that we just do not have cures to yet. Cancer.
You're not saying it, but the holy rollers are saying it.
Yeah, exactly.
And ignorance just breeds more disease.
Yeah.
It really does. When it comes to the meningitis outbreak, Zamfara State has suffered the most deaths and hospitalizations out of all those affected.
Well, so when you tell people the way to cure disease is to repent for your sins.
Well, and the other thing is that Yari and the voices of the country say that destiny, you can't outrun it.
Yeah.
They say that, you know, how you behave in life is how you're going to die, and they're just accepting it.
Yeah, which is really stupid. Really fucking stupid. It's a disease, dude. Diseases are actually real. Your prayers do fucking nothing.
They're saying that you reap what you sow.
That's a logical fallacy. Post ergo hoc fallacy. This, because of that, causes the other thing fallacy, basically.
Yeah.
Correlation doesn't equal causation fallacy.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These things are not related. They're using the mental capacity of a fucking 5-year-old when they think this shit. Because I did a thing. I'll just give an example. I stole a cookie and I got my foot hurt the next day. So obviously me stealing the cookie is why I got my foot hurt. You're combining two things that are not related whatsoever, not anywhere near each other.
What this country needs is immunization and modern science and healthcare.
Yes. Tom, did you have any other thoughts on this too?
Nukem and Brian Moff is morbid.
Well, that'll take care of the meningitis outbreak, won't it?
I often think it's like, you know, stupidity. The reason there's so much more stupidity now is because we are basically keeping all the stupid people from dying.
Jeez.
I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, people have been asking, are humanity still evolving? It's like, no, we are not. We stopped evolving because we stopped natural selection. Now we protect everybody.
Well, that kind of reminds me, I saw this meme a few weeks ago, and I may have mentioned it previously. Evolution sometimes has setbacks because it shows in this, the first panel says in the 1960s, they're like, oh, and then in the year 2000 something, we're going to be really smart. And then the next picture says, there's this guy that says, gravity's a toxin. I'm like, oh, fuck. Fucking A. We're saving some of the stupid people, and they're going to hunt a breed.
We're protecting the stupid people.
Yeah.
Okay,
what's the stupid people from themselves?
What's
like,
the...
if there's a ladder for people to put up their ladders against electrical cables, let them do it. And when they sue, say, no, you were too stupid to know, so screw you. But no, we're giving $1 million payoffs and we're protecting them.
It's like George Carlin used to say, the kid that swallows the most marbles doesn't go on to have children of his own.
I was just thinking how maybe this last election cycle is like a wash cycle. It's like a bleach cycle.
Yeah. Spin.
Bleach, spin, and rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Getting rid of,
I don't know,
crazies.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
This seems to be an all-Islam night because we've been talking about nothing but fucking Islam tonight in so many different ways. And actually, in the last story, that if you get a chance to watch that, there was that area there, there's a lot of Islam stuff there too. So, yeah, Islam is just a fucking nightmare as it is.
We're an equal opportunity offender.
That's right. That's right. We are. We definitely are. In fact, there's a Muslim preacher who warned that men should not urinate in public toilets. Way to go, dude. Don't go into a public toilet, which is made there for that reason, and use it because reasons. Alba Jury, Abba Ding Dong, Albif, I don't know, A-L-B-A-F. Now, Islamic preacher said in Sydney, has become an international laughingstock after he appeared in a video posted on YouTube warning Muslims not to expose their genitals in public toilets. According to the report, he denounced public urinals during a sermon about death really? You're going to talk about taking a shit or taking a piss while talking about death, because those things are completely related. And the punishments will be inflicted on those who disobey the rules of Allah's rules, one of being that they should keep their private parts hidden. I don't know about anybody else, but I go to the urinal. My private parts are pretty much hidden. And if I'm at a urinal that's right next to somebody else's, and somebody else has to come in and there's only two people, I'm not over there going, "Hey, what you got over there, buddy?" And there is little privacy things there, so you most times you can't see. And even if you could, most guys kind of like, "Hey, yeah, that's, you know, that's your junk. This is my junk. Let's just, you know, don't talk. Don't look at each other. Don't talk about sports. Don't do anything. You just look straight ahead. This is all you do. You just look straight ahead. That's all you pay attention to right there. You look at the wall. You look at the ads they have placed right there. That's it. You don't do anything else past that. That's it." Now, he did say this. Every male public toilet has urinals where they can just stand up like animals and urinate in front of one another. What's worse is that we have Muslims using these urinals. Although he couldn't identify a single animal that stands up to piss.
Well, you mean stand up on two legs.
Yeah, on two legs. Yeah, on two legs. Show me a fucking single animal that pisses standing up on two legs. Can you name one? Name
birds
one.
Birds.
Birds are... They're not pissing, though. That's not pissing. That's all they do is say shit. It's just shit.
It was fly off my car.
Yeah. Now, Elvis' denunciation was delivered as part of a prayer in a prayer room for men and boys above the Baraki House Islamic Bookstore.
Shut up, Bob. Oh,
in Sydney's West. His sermon was part of a forum organized by the hardline Islam, or I'm sorry, Ashram, whatever.
Alus Sunnah Wal Jamaah Association in Auburn.
Thank you. Now, the ASJW, or WJs, almost a JWs, almost the same thing. Fundamentalist founder Sheikh Fiz Muhammad last year delivered a sermon saying that it is a major sin for Muslims to attend non-Muslim events. There was a story.
It's true. My daughter has several Muslim friends in school, and mm-hmm. they're not allowed to go to other kids' birthday parties if they're not Muslim.
Yeah. Now, this came out a couple of years ago. Most toilets do not have running water. I mean, as far as like a bidet. In the United States, this is particularly true. If you visit any gas station anywhere, there's no bidets. These are just regular, just one toilet. The thing was, and I'm going to put this out there, they were told, finally, just in this 21st century, hey, by the way, if you're out using the bathroom at a public toilet, you can finally use toilet paper. I'm not even fucking kidding.
Nope. You're not.
Now, they even have a special etiquette for using the toilet. Now, think about this for a second. What do you do when you go into the toilet? You go in, you open the door, you go to the little room that's inside the littler room, the littler room. Unless you're like in just like a toilet's right there. And then you do your business, you wash your hands, you leave. Not a whole lot of etiquette, right? In Islam, there are several rules and manners that they say they should follow when using the toilet. It's very important that they adhere to these rules and observe them very closely. Otherwise, they kill you. Now, first, when you enter the bathroom, you should not carry anything that has Allah's name on it, unless there is fear for it to be lost or stolen. For women, if they have necklaces, bracelets, or rings that have the name Allah written on it, they should remove them before entering the bathroom. Could you imagine that? Oh, I got to go take a piss. I got a very expensive ring. It has Allah written on it. I got to go over and leave it on top of the phone booth out here in a public area until I go use the bathroom, come back, and hope it's still fucking there. Costs a few $100,000 or whatever the dollar amount is. But hey, it has Allah on it, so I can't use it I can't carry it in the bathroom with me. Jesus fucking Christ, how fucking stupid. Now, there's more. While using the toilet, one should not be in the sight of others. And if in an open place, such as in the desert, really, one should go as far away and try to hide him or herself. This holds especially true in the cases of defecation, so others are not to hear obnoxious sounds or smell foul odors. Jabbar said, "While we're journeying with the messenger of Allah, upon whom be peace, and will be only relieve himself when he was out of sight." Fucking ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous. It's a fucking bodily function, you stupid motherfuckers. You're
got perfect solution. Just have him, you know, just have regular toilets and tell him to sit down like women.
Many of them do. And they're not supposed to use their right hand at all. They're supposed to use just their left hand. And then this is actually true in a lot of countries where they don't use the right hand to wipe. In some countries like China, nobody is left-handed. Nobody is left-handed. Because this is that's the hand you wipe with, and this is the hand you shake your hand with. So if you were left-handed, you'd be forced to try to write with your right because no one's left-handed. It's one of those very oldest prejudices out there still.
Gives new meaning to the words, your signature, your writing is shit.
Yeah, exactly. You have any thoughts on this?
Muslim toilet etiquette number 7. Do not urinate in the bathroom. As many a time due to this, evil temptations are aroused. I'm like, oh my God. So don't go to a public bathroom because you're going to be tempted.
I'm going to be tempted to go and have sex with this other man because he showed his pee-pee to me. Or he has it out at the same time as I do.
I think the other thing was that the reason for not using toilet paper to wipe your butt, because paper is also something that you can write on, yes. Thank you.
I'm gonna buy a roll of toilet paper. It just says Allah on it over the
place. Yes,
Allah every day.
Allah be praised.
Allah be praised.
You know, at a certain age, that might be a thing. I don't know. So,
I make them all hold it, and if you see a Muslim in the bathroom, say, "You're not a true Muslim. You're not supposed to be in here. You're supposed to be holding it. You gotta hold it till you get home."
Yes. Yes.
You're a secret atheist. You're using a public bathroom.
Ah.
You can't believe in God if you're going to the bathroom in public. How dare you? That's blaspheme God. You're peeing in public. Condemned to eternity in hell. I mean, I just say, throw that bullshit craziness back in their face.
Yeah.
If they want to believe these crazy things, then make them believe it. Hold them accountable. Tell them this is what you believe, then you do it. If this is what's written in your holy book, then you do it.
Yeah,
you're wearing a cloth made out of two different materials. Well, let me go get my rocks and stone you.
This is a comment from the chat room from Torva. He says, "I was so surprised at seeing another man's penis, I fell over and it ended up in my mouth." Oh my God, you have a penis! Oh no! I was so surprised. Oh, it doesn't happen. I don't understand why they think this is actually a thing. Because if you see another man's penis, you're automatically going to go, "Yeah, I want that." No. I mean, some guys, yeah, maybe. You know, they say, "Oh, that looks nice. It's a nice looking penis. Can I have some of that?" You know, maybe some guys do. Some women do the same thing with other women, too. So they're like, "Hey, not penises, obviously, but I mean, they see other items on a woman. They go, "Yeah, I'd like some of that. I'd like to have some of that." There's nothing wrong with that. Just it's just ridiculous. It's just completely ridiculous.
Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. He's a fucking motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the fucking fucker. Fuck the motherfucker. He's a total fucking fucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fucking fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucking Pope.
Now tonight's Pope on the Rope, we're talking about Sergius III from 904 to 911. Now, he's known by the cardinals as the slave of every vice, came to power after murdering his predecessor. I didn't know that was a thing. I've heard of stories like, you know, usually sci-fi or whatever, you murder your previous person in charge to advance in your ranking, whatever. I was unaware that this was a thing in the papacy, that you kill your predecessor so you can become head dickhead, whatever, you know. He had a son with his teenage mistress, a prostitute, Marzella, 30 years his junior, and their illegitimate son grew up to become the next pope. Ew. Just ew. With top Vatican jobs auctioned off like baubles, the papacy entered its dark century.
The first one?
The Dark Lord.
Yeah, he was the Dark Lord.
The slave of every vice and the master of none. Just like, this reads like Game of Thrones shit. It's,
yeah.
It's so laughable. And these are supposed to be the leaders of a religion.
Yeah, exactly. The fact is that they think that their religion is so moral because, oh, we do a thing.
Well, amoral is still amoral, I guess.
Yeah.
Amoral of the story?
Thank you.
Well, I think Wikipedia has a much better picture of this guy. He's bald. He looks like Ming the Merciless.
He does kind of look like Ming the Merciless in this, actually.
I shared that picture too. It's like, I guess it depends upon what day he went to Great Clips, I guess.
I think the problem was he went to Supercuts. He said, just get it real short.
He's got a nice shaped head though.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. Yeah.
Let's right. Put
it nice and round.
We could put that head on a pike, I think.
They probably did.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
God.
Oh, man.
This is the genesis. You know, that's what gets me about the popes in the Catholic Church. This is the genesis of the modern Christian religion.
The popes are just fucking bizarre. And the thing is, Ed, the more we delve deeper into these popes, the weirder they fucking get. But that's just me.
Oh, popsy. It's just, I think Sarah Silverman had a whole bit on how to cure world hunger.
Mm-hmm.
We sell the Vatican.
Yeah.
Sell off the Vatican.
Yeah.
And they can sell it off, keep a good chunk of change for themselves, and buy super deluxe condos and a pool and all the amenities. And with the rest, you could basically buy food for the world.
I was listening to something this morning, as a matter of fact, about selling the Vatican. The thing is, if they'd probably have to sell it piecemeal, because if they were to try to sell it there's nobody on the planet, with the exception of the United States and maybe China, that could afford to buy it.
Yeah, of course, it'd be piecemeal. It's all the gold.
Yeah, it's all the gold that they got in there. Yeah, the Vatican should be abolished. They should just abolish the Vatican. The whole process is fucking bizarre, and it's completely pointless.
They're fancy there.
Yeah, they're fancy. Put a McDonald's in there and put it right out of McDonald's or a Burger King or something right in there, right above the top there. Those companies should be able to buy out the Vatican. I mean, just put a few burgers in there. They'll just succumb to...
I think once you're willing to put a McDonald's in there, you officially declared it all bullshit.
That's like that preacher that put a Subway in his church. We covered that story a while back, remember? That's Pope Sergius the Third.
Sergius.
But and you told me there was two of them before him?
Yeah. Well, the thing is with the popes, let's just say Tom for a second.
They get to, you know.
You choose your own name. Yeah, you get to choose your own name. Let's just say you're Tom. You're Tom. You go in there. It's like, I'm now Pope Packard. Yeah. Like, wait a minute. So, hey, you took my name.
So being the second is bad enough. But when you're the third, you're officially the most uncreative and uninspired Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, just, you know, who have we had so far? I'll use that same guy's name.
Yeah, that's like our current Pope is Pope Benedict the First. I think he's the first. He might be the second. I don't know. But he's
the current one?
Yeah, the current one. Is he Pope Benedict?
I thought the last one was Benedict.
No, I'm thinking of Benjamin. Whatever the fuck his name is.
I can't think of it.
I can't think of it off the top of my head either. I'm probably,
don't ask me. I've never been Catholic.
Yeah, I'm not a Catholic. I don't follow
these fuckers. But Catholic.
I got it.
It's Francis.
Francis the First. Yeah, he's calling himself Pope Francis the First.
Blah blah blah.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
And,
anyway.
And this is this, yeah. And that is that.
And, you know, the Pope is for the Catholics, But my ex-wife is Mexican Catholic, and Mexicans, they don't give a damn about the Pope.
Yeah, unless they say something that the Pope agree with on the Pope, and if they don't agree with them, then they say, no, the Pope is wrong.
Well, they're all about the Virgin Mary.
Yeah. So, anyway, all right. Well, that was Pope Sergius the Third. Why? All righty. Well, we got to get out of here. And before
we go, I wanted to add something.
Yes.
I'm now officially an English agent. I'm agent 0037. Spike and Dan of the Two Skeptical Chaps podcast.
Uh-huh.
Apparently I said something nice to them, so they made me an agent. So I'm officially an English agent. I think maybe that's what we should start doing for our listeners, making them something official.
Nice.
If you've never listened to Two Skeptical Chaps, check them out because they are as thrilled about Trump as we are.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I was going to also mention the Gateway to Reason conference that's going on right now, or going to be going on here shortly, on July 28th to the 30th in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So next
weekend is ReasonCon in Hickory, North Carolina. I'm going to be there.
Tom, you go to all the best parties.
I try. Life is short.
Yeah. I'd be lucky if I could afford to leave my house.
Certainly, no, there are not going to be any good parties after I die. I'm like, I got to do them now.
That's true.
Unless, of course, there is a hell, then there'll be lots of good parties.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Then all the best people will be there.
You know, if somebody wants to send me enough money so I can go to one of these Reason things, events, go to patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, make some donations so I can afford to, you know, go to some of this stuff. I'd like to, but I just can't afford to do anything right now, so much less live. So don't go there. Please go to the Patreon or go to Packard's Payday on GoFundMe and you can donate there too. All right. Well, we got to get out of here. Thanks everybody for coming to the show. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, with our midweek show at 5 p.m. Central Time. This has been Packard Pokes At. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.